Complaint by Mr. Al Kollwitz under the state election code. I'd like to continue then with the testimony and those who have signed up. In case anyone that has not signed up to testify and you would like to, you need to do that over here to the table, over here by the front doors, please. As I call you up to testify, I need you to speak at the into the microphone. If you need to come up to the table, we can accommodate you by setting a microphone at the table for so that it's at your level of convenience. And I just ask you to state your name and who you're representing, whether it's an organization or yourself. So I'd like to first call upon Faith Gross. Welcome, Faith.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary. I am Faith Gross, representing the Legal Center for People with Disabilities and Older People. I coordinate Colorado's Protection and Advocacy for Voting Access Program, which is authorized under the Help America Vote Act. We agree with the complainant that the VVPAT is not accessible for voters who are blind. We also note that the VPAT is not accessible for other voters with disabilities, for example, some voters who have learning disabilities. In fact, we raised this very concern along with former HAVA Director Drew Durham during the 2004 and 2005 legislative sessions. For the VPAT to be accessible, the voting system must scan the paper ballot and, using an audio interface, read this to the voter. Currently, the VPAT system's audio interface reads what is being sent to the printer, not what is printed on the paper. This becomes a serious problem when the VPAT is considered to be the official ballot of record, as it does not provide equal access. We note that the 2002 FEC standards currently in effect in Colorado do not address accessibility of the VPAT. I believe that this was a concern expressed by the former Secretary of State during the 2004 legislative session. The EAC's 2005 Voluntary Voting System Guidelines, or VVSG, does address accessibility of the VPAT in Section 7.9.7, VPAT Accessibility. This section requires that all accessibility requirements in the previous sections of the rest of the machine also apply to the VPAT. And I will quote, "If the normal procedure includes VPAT, the accessible voting equipment should provide features that enable voters who are visually impaired and voters with an unwritten language to perform this verification. If state statute designates the paper record produced by the VPAT to be the official ballot or the determinative record on a recount, then the accessible voting equipment shall provide features that enable visually impaired voters and voters with an unwritten language to review the paper record," end quote. Section 7.9.7 goes on to provide the example of an automated reader that converts the paper record contents into audio input. Notwithstanding our concern about the accessibility of the VPAT, our more pressing concern lies with the decertification of the Hart-Eslade system. Decertification would result in approximately two-thirds of Colorado counties being without an accessible voting system in place for the upcoming elections. At this time, providing the opportunity for voters with disabilities to cast their ballots privately and without assistance has to be our first priority. We fully expect that when the 2005 VVSG is adopted by Colorado in 2007, the existing VPAT systems will be updated to meet the new certification requirements. This will ensure that voters with disabilities are provided the same opportunity for access and participation, including privacy and independence, as for other voters. And I just wanted to add one comment. It's not in my written testimony, about the U.S. DOJ opinion letter from October 2003. We note that that opinion did not consider the paper ballot becoming or being the official ballot of record. And I think that is a very important distinction to make. And so our National Association and certainly the Legal Center here in Colorado consider that opinion to be out of date and not very useful in making a decision on this. We also note that the Election Assistance Commission, when approving the voluntary voting system guidelines, did not consider or include the U.S. Department of Justice's opinion, and in fact does require that the VPAT be accessible.
Okay. Questions, committee? Okay. Thank you, Faith. Charles Corey.
I'm Dr. Charles Corey. I head up the Equal Justice Foundation in Colorado Springs, and I also lobby for CAMBR. I served as a charter member of the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers Voting Equipment Standards Committee from its inception in 2001 till it was dissolved in January of this year. Currently serve on an election commission that was set up by Bob Banlink, the county clerk in El Paso County. I'd like to address some of the questions the, I guess, board or the, whatever we're going to call it. Voting conspiracies have always existed. There's nothing new. To say that we've got something secure and it's protected, no. In 2003, we were called on to look at an election problem in Denver. Problem with the ballots. A month later, the IT director that had assured us that everything was fine and dandy was arrested for fraud, stealing from the Denver Election Commission, and taking the voting computers home. We always think in terms of Front Range here and large counties. We have large secure facilities for these machines and the equipment, but you get out in the plains or on the western slope and the storage is often very insecure. So you can't count on these things being secure in any sense of the word. One of the things back in 2002 that we debated hot and heavy on these kind of printers was that the ballots were supposed to be cut and dropped into the ballot box to avoid exactly the kind of problem that Mr. Kolwitz has brought before you today. Neil McClure was also on the IEEE committee. He's pointed out to you that the cut sheet idea just didn't work in practice, the reliability problems, cost, and it's been a very rushed process. We started debating this in the standards committee in 2002. 2003, I believe, Nevada moved to requiring a VPAT of some kind. They had to grab off-the-shelf commercial printers. There really hasn't been time to develop and test and bring forth useful machines that are quite reliable. But really do have to have a cut sheet to avoid these kind of problems. We run into it with very small precincts or polling places where 10 to 15, 20 different ballots are cast. And a lot of times these are special district elections run by developers. There's a lot of money involved in the election. There's very good reasons to be tracking these ballots. So you really need the independent cut sheet ballots. I believe Mr. Hobbs asked about having a variety of these machines and you wouldn't be able to track which voter. HAVA calls for one of these machines per polling place, not a variety of them. And I know in El Paso County, that's exactly what we'll be doing. So you can track from an individual machine. From what I see, HAVA is very clear about individual verification. I don't think there's much wiggle room on that. But on the other side of that, I don't think any one machine currently handles all the disabilities, and I know of no published list of what disabilities the election machines must accommodate. You can't design a machine to handle something that you haven't defined. These individuals here, I'm sure, have very different requirements among them than are provided for on this one single machine. And I hope that some of them will be addressing those. I don't know if it was John. John and I know each other from when he was in El Paso County as well, so been working together for some time on these things. I believe it was you asked about whether there's any documented cases of these machines going wrong with the ballots not matching the printer. What happens is a buffer overflow, and in North Carolina was a good example. The machine starts counting backwards, the printer keeps printing forward. So those kind of problems have happened. A way to track a ballot on a continuous roll like this is you get a voter that goes in, he starts through, and then he voids the ballot and marks a place on the roll. I think that's the way this one works too, is it marks a void and then advances for the new ballot. The voter voids the ballot, and then he can do a couple of those to mark the place and then vote. So you can see where the individual voter voted on these continuous rolls. There was also the question, I believe, by the Secretary of State on what would satisfy the current problem if you do decertify. I would note that the county clerks claim mail ballot election would satisfy the problem and meet the HAVA requirements for this year. Personally, I'm very opposed to mail ballot elections for a variety of reasons that Bob Ehlings asked me to address for this election commission. I think I came up with about 60 different things, and I'd be glad to produce that if that's of interest to this board. What I would suggest is, for decades, Colorado law has allowed election judges to assist individual voters with their ballot when they had problems. I believe it's within the purview of the Secretary of State to continue that process through the 2006 election year. I know a number of other states are facing these problems. Diebold has certification problems in California, and I believe Texas. These gentlemen could probably answer better on that. But if we could continue just allowing the election judges to help the individual voters through this year, I think we could get through this year until the technology can catch up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Corey. And just for the record, I'd like to point out, since you brought up another company, Diebold, you know, each state has different certifications that they're requiring, and so what may not have been certified in one state may have been fine for Colorado or vice versa.
Yes, I know. We're getting Diebold in El Paso County, and we'll be looking at those. And since Mr. Bangling has asked me to look at that testing, we'll probably have more to say.
Questions, committee? All right. Thank you, Mr. Corey. I'd like to call Scott LaBear. Welcome, Mr. LaBear.
Good afternoon, Madam Secretary. I'm Scott LaBear. I'm president of the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado. I'm president of the National Association of Blind Lawyers, a division of the National Federation of the Blind. I'm chairman of the American Bar Association Commission on Mental and Physical Disability Law. I give you those titles and organizations just to let you know that I speak from, I think, a broad base of people, and I am representative of a lot of views. In short, Madam Secretary, we believe you should deny this complaint. The practical effect of granting this complaint and decertifying the Hart eSlate would be to put us back in terms of accessibility, put us back to pre-HAVA days. I take great exception to what Dr. Corey just said about, well, let's just go back to pre-HAVA days and have election officials be able to assist blind and visually impaired voters or disabled voters. That is precisely why we fought so hard when HAVA was being processed through the legislature, so hard to put in non-visual requirements for voting, because having somebody assist you, although it has worked and has allowed access, is not a very reliable way to vote. It is not independent and it is not secret. I voted in the 2004 election, and I voted here in Denver. I had to rely upon an election official who was barely able to manage the English language. Thank God I knew who I wanted to vote for and what I wanted to vote for, because if I had to rely upon that official to read an actual ballot measure, I would not have been able to cast an intelligent vote. We agree that the current systems, not only the eSlate but many others, we agree that the VTAP aspect of it is not accessible. And we agree that it must become accessible. But the truth is, we've got to allow the technology to catch up and to allow us to ultimately have complete and full access to the process. But right now, before we can get access to that better technology, right now what we have with the eSlate and other similar machines is a whole lot better than what we had prior to HAVA. I will, this fall, unless you in fact decertify this machine, be able to go to my polling place and cast an independent and secret ballot for the first time in my life. And I look forward to doing that, and we urge you, and I'm submitting, and Lisa, if you'll give it to the record, submitting written comments on behalf of the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado. But in short, Madam Secretary, we urge you to deny this complaint.
Scott, so it does not, you don't have concerns about the technology that has been made available that you cannot verify how you voted?
I feel I can verify it. I feel that allowing the machine to read back to me what I've selected allows me to verify. I actually am not paranoid, and I do trust the machines more than I trust this election official that read me my ballot a couple years ago. Is it perfect? No. Ultimately, if the paper ballot is an official ballot, one that will determine the election in a contested situation, in a recount, yes, I want access to that ultimately, but right now the current solutions as offered are enough, and we will insist that the whole process, including the VTAP process, be accessible, but we know, practically speaking, we've got to allow the technology to catch up. And let me also say this. If you decide to decertify this machine, that'll mean in two-thirds of our counties, we will have to go back to pre-HAVA days. We will think long and hard about appealing that decision, fighting that decision, and making sure that the existing regulations and the existing HAVA requirements are, in fact, implemented.
And do you know, was the National Federation of the Blind consulted in as an organization to take a stand one way or another regarding the equipment needs that HAVA was trying to develop?
Yes. We've been involved from the beginning in this process. We have, in fact, been contacted by Heart Inner Civic. They have, as Mr. McClure testified, they have, in fact, worked closely with us. We have confidence in them. We were also involved in the 2004-2005 legislative process regarding this whole VTAP process. We believe that everything is on track, that we will ultimately have fully accessible VTAP as well, but we are in full agreement with what Ms. Gross testified to earlier.
Okay, questions, committee? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Diane McGeorge. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you. My name is Diane McGeorge. I serve on the National Board of Directors for the National Federation of the Blind. I serve on the State Board of Directors for the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado. We have indeed been very closely involved with HAVA from its very inception. In every aspect, to be assured that visually impaired, totally blind people could vote effectively and independently. In the year 2004, I was at that time state president of NFB of Colorado, and we invited Heart Inner Civics Corporation to come to our convention to demonstrate the machine. We had over 200 people in attendance, and we had many, many people test the machine, found it very, very satisfactory. I would only say that I have to agree, because we can listen to how we voted to be sure that we pushed the right button, if you will, to be sure that what we wanted to vote for, we can get an audible feedback before we push the cast button or whatever we do. I mean, that was 2004. I did test the machine, but before I physically cast my vote, I think that is an absolute good verification. To decertify this machine at this point sets us back a good many years. I have voted for a good many years here in this state. I voted a variety of ways, but this year will be my first chance. If you refuse this complainant, if you go ahead and keep this machine in, this will be the first year, like Scott, and I'm considerably older than Scott, that I get to go and vote independently. I have used election official judges. I have had a sighted person go with me. We worked hard in this state to get that passed, that a blind person could select someone to go in with them, and we got that passed in the legislature. And the Secretary of State and the election people, we had a lot of discussion. But we got that done. But to be able to just go there, use the machine, and do it by myself, this will be the first year. And I'm, for one, looking forward to that. I don't want us to be set back. Sure, you know, we could use election judges. I could take a neighbor or a friend to help me vote. But you know what I said to somebody one time? People used to beat their clothes on the rocks to wash them, too, but we don't do that anymore. And I believe that decertification at this point in time is not a good decision, is not a wise choice. Sure, the technology has to catch up, but we play catch up all the time in the world of people with disabilities. We're always catching up with technology, but we do it. But I really hope this complaint will be denied. Thank you very much.
Diane, let me ask one question. And
sure.
Have you from the standpoint of serving both on the state board as well as the national board for the Federation of the Blind, has the association been in contact by other groups with disabilities who have concerns over the VPAT and the eSlate equipment, and trying to understand why you all are being supportive where they might not be supportive?
You mean have they come to us and said, why do you like this and we don't?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I have not personally, no. I think the people that I have spoken with other disabilities, have said what I said, that the technology is behind. Nobody can argue that. We all know that, and it's very clear. But to set us back and not permit us to go with what is currently available is pretty silly. Well, is not very practical. So I think that we do need to go with what we have, and as Scott has said, we will certainly be monitoring the progress that technology makes. Probably will be right in the middle of it if it has to do with blind people. The National Federation of the Blind is always there, making sure of accessibility.
Very good.
Thank you.
Questions, committee?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
David Bolin.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. My name is David Bolin. I'm the Executive Director of the Center for People with Disabilities. We serve 5 counties, Boulder, Broomfield, Gilpin, Adams, and Jefferson counties. And we're here today primarily to talk about the needs of other disabilities. You're hearing lots of talk about people with visual impairments. There are a multitude of disabilities who cannot personally cast their ballot without a machine like the eSlate. So whether or not you have manual dexterity, which means can you grasp paper and actually insert your ballot, many quads can, many quads can't. Many people with MS can, many people can't. People with Parkinson's, if it's far enough advanced, would have great difficulty casting their ballot. So we would like to not see, we don't want the machine to be decertified, because for many of these folks that we serve, it'll be the first time that they will be able to cast their ballot by themselves, privately. And as a person who's actually marked a ballot for a person with a disability, this person trusted me a great deal. I didn't agree with some of her votes. Luckily for her, I didn't vote my way. I voted her way. But you cannot say that about every election judge. You cannot say that about every person who comes in. And going back to the days of not being able to personally and privately cast your ballot is a step backwards for the disability community. And we personally will not stand for that. We do not want to go backwards. We want to move forward. We know that assistive technology is always behind. We don't have a big market for assistive technology, so for voting machines, the use of assistive technology can create some problems. As a user of assistive technology, I use hearing aids, which aid my ability to hear, but do not correct my hearing loss. And so I miss words. I miss what people may say. If I were not to have manual dexterity and then were counting on someone to read a ballot to me, I have to be able to see them. There's a lot of things involved with different disabilities. This machine addresses the majority of the accessibility problems for people with disabilities. While the VPAT is not accessible, I think most people trust that when what is on the screen is read to them, which is the way people with visual impairments and dyslexia and a number of other folks access computer technology, is their screen is read to them. And then when they hit print, they're trusting that the printer is printing what was read on the screen. When you scan and use a scan in and then use an OCR type process, you don't always hear exactly what's on that paper because of scanning issues, those kinds of things. Screen readers tend to be a little bit more accurate. So we hope that this committee will not decertify the Hart eSlate and will continue moving us forward toward full accessibility in voting. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, committee? Thank you, David. Is it Grogan? Bruce Grogan is with you. Bruce, would you like to testify next? It is technology, and we have no problem waiting.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it takes longer. Can you spend it? Can you hear that?
Yes, sir.
My name is Bruce Kirk. I live at 1456 Bradley Drive in South Boulder. I would really like to commend the county commissioner's decision to go in and to get this machine. In the past, I've had to rely on numerous individuals to assist with casting and marking my ballot, and it's always in the back of your mind, how well do I trust this person? Now, I've finally have reached a spot where I have a wife now that even though we disagree, she's willing to do what I say. At least when it comes to marking a ballot. You know, but we had many, many heated discussions about that. So, this machine will give me the first opportunity that I've had to independently cast my independent ballot, and I'm really looking forward to that in the next election. Now, I wanted to point out I am to have multiple sclerosis. I have no movement below my neck. So basically, I'm like Christopher Reeves, only I think better looking. Yeah, so really about the only movement I have is what I can do with my voice. Now, I have been involved with numerous organizations. I'm a former board member of CBWD. I am former president of the board of Colorado Gross Disability Coalition. I've served on many Medicaid level committees on the state developing numerous programs to assist people with this disabilities. But I would really like to thank you all for letting us voice our concerns. And have any questions? If not, I'll get out of your hair.
I do have one question, Bruce, and that is the complainant. One of the issues the complainant has raised is that eSlate does not provide for anonymous voting because of the voter verified paper trail on a continuous paper roll. Does that raise any concerns?
I have no concerns with that.
All right.
At least we're closer to getting something that will work, and solve all these problems. But this seems to be the best that we've got so far.
Questions? Thank you. Thank you for taking your time to come down here today.
Sure.
Let's see. Harvey Bascrum. Here, we can do that, Mr. Noriega. Dana?
I have a limited number of copies of those, so I will provide them electronically to you folks. Certainly you can have one, but I'd rather you start with the room first because probably will never see it again.
Okay.
I'm Harvey Bascrum. I am the chair of Eagle County Democrats, and I have a difficult act to follow, following all those beautiful, heartfelt comments by the representing various disabilities. The people I represent are in a mountain county, Eagle County, where my portion of it is actually in a valley between Aspen and Glenwood Springs in Colorado. And we are at this moment, we have just finished purchasing the machine in question that's over there. I was thinking that we were going to be purchasing a few of those machines for enabling the disabled opportunity to vote, but in fact our county clerk, who was here, apparently not here at the moment, had decided to, and our Board of County Commissioners decided to buy it, enough machines for all of the precinct elections, and so all of the non-disabled voters will be affected by this choice. And that there were actually 10 reasons why I came down here to speak today, and at least the first one is very pertinent to this particular case, and then I will address immediately the precise conditions of the machine in question. I'm basically a citizen that came 200 miles to come here to Denver to speak to the Secretary of State. Why is it that I don't just trust county clerks and the Secretary of State? There are a series of reasons why I feel the need to appear here.
Now, Harvey, make sure that your remarks address specifically
I'm going to do that. In fact, I'm not going to actually read all these remarks. So if you want to hear the rest of my words, you'll have to actually read them. And my apologies to the blind here. I'd be happy to try to read those to you if you could email me or call me, hbranscombe@eagledems.org. But first, in preparing for appearing here, I had continued in my attempt to try to get information about this machine and its certification process. And when citizens like me ask for proof that voting machines I depend on in Eagle County are accurate, I learn that the independent test authority test procedures and the results are unavailable, that state certification test specifications are unconvincing, the actual test data unavailable, and that too few ballots are used for almost every test. For example, 25 test ballots per political party, once through the machine in the logic accuracy test, and only 100 ballots in the so-called random audit test. And my county clerk may not cooperate with a well-reasoned argument to test with additional ballots on behalf of my political party and the public. And there are 9 other points which I am not going to go into right now. but all of the observations are completely nonpartisan. Since the process here is focused on only one single machine, which is the machine selected for purchase recently by Eagle County Board of County Commissioners, the Hart E. Slate with the paper trail option, my salient comments today are limited to the defects of this type of machine and this machine in particular. The Hart machine is a touchscreen device which, like other DRE machines, arbitrarily isolates the human hand from the record, intercepting the voting process with a considerable number of physical constraints while it offers some flexibility and variability from voter to voter at the same time. While the DRE may allow the blind voter to hear the choices on the ballot, this is not the same choice that the fully sighted voter has, and hence real equal treatment is not provided for and never will be. On the other hand, the fully able-bodied voter will endure an interface which requires special skills, including special kinds of hand-eye coordination, etc., in order to be able to vote on the DRE. The Hart machine, like all machines in Colorado, is required to provide a voter-verified paper audit trail. To be effective, this paper audit trail must be easily auditable by all voters, must have longevity for archival purposes, must provide voter privacy and anonymity. It's my understanding that the Hart E. Slate machine in question, as purchased recently by Eagle County, fails to provide voter-verified paper audit trail by failing to serve a significant part of the disabled community, which its rushed purchase is intended to serve, namely the blind, who cannot privately verify the accuracy of their vote. Hence, their vote is entirely at the mercy of the proper treatment of the electronic record. The lack of ability of these blind voters to verify their paper ballot record suggests that the paper record will never be able to be used as a full record of the vote of the election. And future election officials will argue that only the electronic records can accurately be used for a recount, and paper records having been incompletely verified. And actually, this is the first meeting that I've been to where I've heard the proposition that the paper record is the ballot, and that is terminology that voters would like to hear, certainly before the adopting a DRE over a optical scan device, which has been currently in use in Eagle, Colorado. And that has not been made clear to us at all, if it's the case at all. And what I am understanding is that the state law calls for that paper portion that's hidden in that machine as some kind of paper record, but not a ballot. If these blind voters must have a helper to read and verify their vote, then their privacy is invaded to a similar extent to what would happen if they were to vote with help on a not disabled friendly voting machine. Therefore, perceived either by law or by common sense, the Hart E. Slate machine design does not provide for a cure for the needs of the blind voters. Whether or not the Hart E. Slate helps or hurts the needs of non-disabled voters in terms of election accuracy and fairness and accountability is also subject to question, but not at this hearing. Second, and perhaps more importantly, the anonymity of voting and the voting record, which is at the cornerstone of our rights and freedoms as citizens, is compromised by the physical attachment of the paper records in a sequence which necessarily matches the order of the use of the DRE machine, which usage itself cannot be hidden from view or prevented from being observed. In comparison to the use of individual paper ballots, whose order is easily changed, this is a substantial deficiency. I'm also concerned about the longevity of the paper record of the Hart E. Slate machine, but this concern is minor in consideration that this paper record would probably never be possible to be used for a hand count of the vote, or I'm now understanding a possible electronic recount of the paper by reading the barcodes, apparently, and thus also prevent a random audit as called for by Colorado law, which is to say, if the blind voter's ballot is randomly chosen, the audit is not complete. And because the I would like to say that I'm sorry to be having to bring this message to you right now, because the as a member of the Democratic Party, I'm very, very supportive of the needs of the disabled. And I'm also a technologist. I have my own computer company. I'm aware of the limitations of technology in terms of representing human expression and being able to recognize it. And definitely the technology needs to be improved in order to be able to provide both accountability and accuracy on behalf of disabled and normal voters. It would be a real shame that in this election cycle, if we went for the first series of better disabled-friendly machines and cause a problem for the election accuracy and accountability at large for the non-disabled voters. And that's why I would recommend that some approach that involves a temporary solution, which is what I understood or was hoping would be happening in Eagle County, would be addressed, rather than and opening up the alternative technologies, which Mr. Kollwitz has mentioned, to potential purchase by the counties in Colorado, and also the strong encouragement of the counties to actually test these machines, because I agree with Mr. Kollwitz that there is no evidence that the testing of these machines is adequate, and I've requested that evidence. I have not received it. It's terribly, terribly important that we make sure that our machines are actually recording the vote correctly for all voters. And I also would note that it's a concern that the thresholds for starting to recount are relatively small numbers, like 1%, and somewhere in the vicinity of the...
Harvey, I'm sorry, that's irrelevant right now for this hearing. I want to ask you, you talked about alternative technologies. Do you have specifics on alternative technologies?
The alternative technologies that I know of today are the same that Mr. Kollwitz has mentioned.
Which was rather vague, so if you know, can be more specific on that, that would be helpful.
The vote pad is a very sensible, low-tech solution, which involves more of a mechanical device. It's designed to specialize for specific kinds of disabilities, and not necessary to be used by all voters, which allows the existing voting technologies to be used in place, such as the optical scanners. I mean, we had a big problem with optical scanners in Eagle County in the past election, but even so, and we had to, a portion of our ballot had to be hand counted, and it probably all should have been hand counted, because marks were actually copying from one side of the ballot to the other. But I still, in spite of that, believe in the optical scan technology and the opportunity for voters to place marks on paper ahead of the electronic technology, even though I'm a builder of software, and I know the reliability, the potential for reliability in it, and the accuracy and so forth, and I'm actually a supporter in general of technological solutions, but not for the universal user interface, which is voting. That has to work for everyone. There's the other machine Mr. Kollwitz mentioned. I wouldn't get the name exactly correct. What's the other? It's been mentioned several times. AutoMark. That is the other machine that I understand is. It provides an attachment for the disabled, which allows the ballot to be created by the disabled.
Okay. Questions, committee? All right. Thank you very much. Deanna Noriega. Yeah.
Okay, this is a very small microphone, and I have a very soft voice. My name is Deanna Quietwater Noriega, which identifies me as Native American. And we've had a long history of distrust for government. But in this respect, I've been politically active since I was a senior in high school when I stuffed envelopes and passed out bumper stickers. Long before I could vote, I voted in every election. Most of my life I've lived in small towns where you went to a school library or a firehouse to vote. And I've had to dictate my vote verbally out loud in a very small room in a community where I might be the only liberal in a very conservative town voting on a very sensitive issue. I've operated businesses in those towns. It was kind of scary sometimes to cast my vote counter to what the main feeling of my community was in a public setting, not knowing who was overhearing what I had to say. Yes, I could take along a friend or my spouse, and frequently we made jokes about the fact that my vote would cancel out his vote. So, did I really, really trust my husband of 35 years to nullify his own vote? I had to. I had no other option. For the past 2 years, I have voted independently, and it was a great joy. As far as whether or not having a continuous paper feed roll is a big issue to me, it isn't. Paper is paper to me. I can't tell the difference between a ballot that's shot out of the machine and my Burger King receipt. It's all paper. When I verify my ballot before casting it with the audio function, I'm satisfied. Yes, could it be circumvented? Probably at great lengths, but so have paper elections. If people are going to try to take away our democracy through illegal means, they're going to do it no matter what the system we use. However, if you take us back to prior to HAVA conditions, then you're taking away my ability to vote as I see fit, without fear. And I guess I should tell you a little bit more. I'm from Colorado Springs. I've voted since 2004 in every election independently, thanks to a foresighted county clerk who got the equipment in so that there is one in every polling place, or at least three polling places that I could go. So I am on the board of directors on the national level of the American Council of the Blind. I'm on the board of directors of the Colorado Council of the Blind. I'm on the board of directors of the National Organization of Guide Dog Users, GDUI. I have been active seeking access to the vote since 1990, when a senior citizen who was part of my chapter came to me and said that he felt disenfranchised because his wife of 40 years had to mark his ballot for him. And what could I do about it? So I don't see that taking away our access to the vote because you fear paper, electronic machines, is at all fair. And I think that you probably have other options still. You could post a mail-in ballot or an absentee ballot. I don't have other options at this time, until such time as a machine comes out that does all of the things that anyone could conceivably ask of it. Don't take us backwards. Don't take away what we've accomplished so far. And as far as, okay, I've got a document here on my note taker, which I downloaded. It's a text file, which I downloaded. Just a second. I've got to turn speech on because I use the Braille display on my unit primarily. Okay, and I will even make it louder. Okay, as you can tell, even when we are able to scan a document in and have it turned back into speech, there are going to be people like the man who is hearing impaired who are not going to be able to access it. There are going to be people with macular degeneration who didn't grow up with computers that talk that are going to find this speech really hard to listen to. You're not going to find a perfect answer. So let's not go backwards. Let's keep moving forward. Okay. I'll have it read this very short poem, and you can see what text-to-speech sounds like.
I was a child sitting alone on the stairs while other children played a ball game in the yard. Because I couldn't see to play, I learned to love books. I was the young girl who washed her hair on Friday nights, because the boys who carried my Emmy Braille books at school never guessed I loved to dance and go to movies. I was the young woman holding my newborn infant, with my heart full of wonder and joy, while nurses talked about me as if I weren't there, speculating about how I could ever care for that child. I was the young mother sitting alone in the school cafeteria because the teacher didn't expect me to come to the mother's lunch and assign my child to serve behind the counter. I tell you these things because I want you to understand. I am not a disability. I am a person like you. I wept, I cry, I sing and dance. I cherish my friends and family. I want to be a part of my community and world. I don't need your pity. I only ask your acceptance. I only need you to open your eyes and see me, not as a dysfunction, but as a person. A human being just like you.
Okay, that was a poem I wrote, and probably 90% of the people in this room have no idea what it said. So I guess that's what I would like to say. Don't take away what the ground we've already achieved. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Deanna. Questions, committee? Thank you very much. Jenny Flanagan?
She left.
Jenny?
Yeah.
I apologize. I have another meeting to go to. Jenny Flanagan with Colorado Common Cause. Our address is 1536 Wine Coop Street, Denver 80202. I have been listening online or have been here throughout the day, and really just hope to be available. If you have any questions in terms of a historical perspective of when we passed the 2005 law that requires voter verifiable paper records for voting machines, electronic voting machines as they come into our state, and then requiring counties to meet that voter verifiable paper record requirement in 2008 or 2010. In terms of the two issues that are raising the complaint that are being discussed today, we recognize that these machines are not accessible for blind and other disabilities, disabled people, to verify their votes on a piece of paper. Certainly the machines have that availability, and that's a part of the electronic machines, but it's not untrue. I mean, it's certainly a reality that there's no way that these paper records read back to a voter. It's been our position throughout this debate that it is more important, or it is very important, that our electronic voting machines are verifiable and are auditable to ensure the confidence in our votes for all Coloradans. And for that reason, we lobbied strongly to require that all new machines that come into our state have a voter verifiable paper record, something that is auditable to ensure that the machines are counting votes accurately. And we support the Secretary of State's office moving forward to be in compliance with HAVA to ensure that all voters do have the access to a private and independent vote, with that caveat and understanding that right now the technology does not provide an audio readback for all people. And that is a problem, and we recognize it. But again, it was our intent and our purpose in supporting that voter verifiable paper record to ensure the accuracy and integrity of our voting machines and to ensure that they were auditable. Toward the second issue of anonymity of the voters, we don't think there's anything more important in our electoral process to ensure that every voter has the right to a confidential vote, that time in a polling booth is a sacred time for all voters, and their votes should be protected, and their confidentiality must be protected. We think that there can be systems and procedures put in place by both the Secretary of State and the clerk's offices through rules, through procedures, to ensure for that anonymity. We think that is critical and must be done. We recognize that it's not a simple task, and there are challenges, and we are happy to work and are in process of reviewing the rules and working to ensure that confidentiality is a priority for all of our voters. That's really all I have to say. I just wanted to stress the importance of having auditable and credible and machines that have integrity.
Jenny, can you, I wasn't in this position in 2005. But we have gone back and been trying to listen to some of the testimony that was testified just in favor of the paper trail. And, of course, I don't think at that time you even knew exactly what the equipment would look like. But can you recall some of the organizations or some of the folks that came in and testified that were in support of that, even recognizing the fact that there could be limitations to the technology at that point and that it might not meet the needs of all of the disability community?
Well, I don't think that I could speak on behalf of some of the disability advocates that spoke. I know Faith Gross is here, and she could probably think of some of the other groups that may have come to testify as to that. I think we know, and Faith will agree, at that time that there was not technology in place that would meet this requirement, that would be both verifiable in terms of a paper record and be able to read back and provide verifiability for all disabilities. That was a reality. We knew that point. And again, as I stated earlier, from a common cause perspective, the auditability and reliability of the machines was very important to us. In terms of other groups that testified, it was, to be honest, it was a mixed feeling among, I think some of the advocates in this room would agree, that we're a part of that debate, that having that auditable paper trail was important, but that some of the other issues with electronic voting technology, such as testing and certification, both at the state and federal level, were enough concerns, and there were so many concerns about their reliability at those various stages, that a piece of paper was not going to meet those needs, if that makes sense. So there were enough vulnerabilities with these systems that I think they would argue are still vulnerable and lacking integrity today, that a paper record would never do enough to meet those requirements. Again, it's our position that paper is the best thing we've got right now to provide that auditability and that check on our voting systems.
Thank you. Questions, committee? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Eberly?
Mary Eberly, 1520 Crest Court, Boulder. Thank you, Madam Secretary, for holding this hearing.
And Mary, you're going to have to speak up just a little bit.
I need to be taller. I had sent an email to Mr. Munster, and did you receive it?
Yes, it's in the permanent the official record.
Okay, well, I won't read it then. But I just would like to make a couple of points. My main point is that I would like you to decertify this equipment. I went to the demonstration in Boulder County that Hart put on, and I immediately saw that a blind person could not verify the VPAT part of the device. And it was explained that the sound that the blind person would hear to see how the ballot was being marked came from the computer rather than from the VPAT in some sort of scanning mechanism. And I felt at that point that this was really not a good system for us. But it has been selected for Boulder County. And I feel that this is an extreme mistake. I'm also opposed to the continuous paper roll approach, but that's been discussed quite a bit, and I agree with those who have already analyzed it for you. Madam Secretary, you'd ask a couple of people about alternatives that might be feasible at this time. And I would really like to encourage all of you, and in fact everybody in this room, to investigate the VotePad device. I don't have any connection with that company, either financial or familial or spiritual or anything, but it just seems like a good system. It's not expensive. The product that is created by the voter is a paper ballot, the same paper ballot that the rest of us in Boulder County who are not disabled would be using exactly the same ballot. The ballot is put into a plastic sleeve on a tablet, and the sleeve has kind of stuck-on lumps. They're kind of like gummy bears, only smaller, at each point where a vote could be cast. And a headphone allows the voter to hear instructions, say, you know, on the page are the choices for president, and here are the choices. The first one is, the second one is, and so forth. And the voter has a pen, just like any other voter, and can mark that ballot next to these little sort of gummy bear lumps in by marking through the template into the square, the same square that any other voter could use. And then, after making the choices, the voter can use a device that's sort of like a fat pen and just hold it next to each square, and the pen vibrates where the square has been blackened in, and if the square hasn't been blackened in, it doesn't vibrate. So the voter can verify what is on the paper ballot is the correct choice. Now, I realize that the hang-up in this is the quadriplegic voter who would not be able to manipulate the pen or put the paper into the ballot box. But I don't, it seems discriminatory and inappropriate to give the blind voters the HART system, which is sort of a half a loaf setup. Why would we, you know, pick one group against another group when we're getting this other problem of perhaps not having the votes be confidential? This just seems like a bad system to me.
Okay. Questions, committee?
I don't have a question. I just have a follow-up comment for you. The vote pad is not federally certified.
It's not electronic, though, so it doesn't need to be certified, does it?
The EAC has submitted a response, and I'll put this in the record, that this device has to be certified by them prior to being used, particularly for our state, because we require federal certification.
Are not other jurisdictions using it? I thought one of the counties in California in particular.
I can't speak to other states' certification process, but our state specifically requires federal certification prior to state certification for all electronic voting systems.
Well, AutoMark is federally certified.
Yes, and I addressed AutoMark system earlier. Thank you.
Al, you're going to have time to come back and... Okay, then you need to come up to the microphone, please. Al Kolwitz, for the record.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify the record because John just said the word electronic, and I wanted to make sure that I heard him accurately and that the record reflects what he meant.
Yes.
Mr. Gardner.
Thank you. The vote pad is a ballot marking device that is considered an electronic voting device. Because of the wand that verifies what vote has been marked, for one, because of the programming required to ensure that the correct ballot is programmed into the audio recording device, whatever that happens to be, and the playback that's required for that. There are electronic components involved, and that's why we sought the advice of the EAC on their certification if they wanted to require that because of that reason, and they have determined that it should be federally certified.
All right, thank you, Mary. And I apologize, I cannot quite read this name. I think it's Kevin, starting with the last letter of B, Brez. There's no address given, so he's not here. He left. Okay, all right, thank you. All right. Natalie Orell? Orell? Thank you. Excuse me. Okay. Do you need help? Help Natalie to the podium? Okay. Mr. Noriega is going to help you. Okay. turn to the... Thank you. Natalie, just if you'd state your name for the record and who you represent or if you're representing yourself.
Okay. Am I clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. I'm Natalie Orell. I live on 3637 Decatur in North Denver, representative of a wonderful Highland Park community, as well as the president of our Rocky Mountain Guide Dog affiliate of the American Council of the Blind of Colorado. I just want to express my appreciation for this hearing today, also stating other sentiments that represent the proponents of any kind of accessible voting machine that provides audio and or tactile input. I have been a voter in the last two elections, as well as politically active in consumer advocacy, and yes, I have been able to utilize readers and friends, but also find that this is a challenge because I don't always know that the ballots are being marked in the way that I would like them, so therefore would recommend the passage of the e-slate and other audio machines that have been mentioned so far today, and because I think that it would be wonderful to ensure that my vote gets cast in the way that I want it cast, and instead of, you know, especially if it's on a controversial issue, so would just like to say move forward with whatever accessibility you can, and with that I thank you.
Natalie, do you feel in any way that you are being disenfranchised because you cannot verify how your vote was cast electronically?
Yeah, I do. Because number one, in my polling place, there is no accessible machine, and so having to rely on the help of others, not knowing whether they're marking the ballot as I wish, is very disenfranchising, because sighted people do not have to utilize this. The system, for in whatever way it's used, can always be misused. But I ask that audio formats be implemented, and as far as it being, as far as paper's paper, you know, I second Deanna's thing on that. Any paper's paper. I mean, it's going to look blank to me, but you know, I want to be sure that vote that I put in is being read right.
Okay, so the audio component of the e-slate machine is satisfactory to you.
Right.
Okay.
As long as it's easy to use and it's clearly audible and I can verify my ballot, that's fine.
Okay. Committee, questions? All right. Thank you for coming downtown today.
Thank you.
Julie Aird, A-I-R-D, is that correct?
He's ready to go.
Stretching.
Is that what you call a lucky dog?
Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
And when you state your name, I'm sorry, I don't know what the acronym CPWD means. So
okay.
If you'll...
I work at the Center for People with Disabilities in Boulder. As I've been an advocate in various programs there. Currently, I work with seniors with low vision and blindness. But I live at, and my name is Julie Redenbaugh Aird. I live at 4579 Beachcomber Court, Boulder, Colorado. So my testimony is of a personal nature. It is my understanding that the Hart-Eastlade voting system is the most accessible to those of us who do not have the ability to use paper ballots independently. As a person with poor dexterity, I have always required assistance at the polls. For example, my husband has marked my ballot in the past. On one occasion, at least, he tried to persuade me to vote for a candidate other than the one I intended to vote for. Though I didn't listen to his persuasion, it was an annoyance that if I could have voted privately and without assistance, I would not have been subject to this. It is, and that's true with anyone, strangers, friend, or my closest companion, my husband. It is my constitutional right as an U.S. citizen to vote privately at the polls. Historically, I have not been guaranteed this right. I believe it's time for this to change. I assert it's time for people with disabilities to be free to vote privately, easily, and independently, equal with other U.S. citizens. And I think that the Hart-Eastlade gives that freedom of being the most accessible to the greatest variety of people. So, thank you.
Julie, have you attended any of the presentations on how to use the Hart equipment?
I haven't.
You haven't? Okay. I was just wondering what your opinion was as far as the what you thought of the ability to utilize the machine. So
right, and by talking with friends and other advocates, it seems that that would give me the greatest accessibility. So I would like to try it.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Questions, committee? Thank you for your time today. Judy Neal. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you. My name is Judy Neal, and I also work at the Center for People with Disabilities. I'm a member of ADAPT, which is a disability rights group, but I'm here today as a Boulder County voter who is very much looking forward to voting privately and independently for the first time in over 10 years. And I don't want to diminish what Scott and Diane were saying about this being their first opportunity to vote. I was sighted most of my life, and I know what I lost. I know what it felt like to go to the polls and to pull that lever and cast my own ballot, and I want to do that again. I attended the Boulder County Commissioner's public hearing on the Hart Inner Civic and really have no fear about the security of the machines, about my anonymity, none of those issues. And as a person who has a visual impairment, technology is what I live by. I use a computer. I use verbal, my screen reader, you know, I type something, my computer reads it to me, I hit the print button, I fully expect it to be exactly what I just heard. To me, hearing the ballot, making my choices and have that repeated to me, that's verification. You know, paper is nothing to me. And certainly paper with gummy bears would not be very helpful. I'm used to technology. But I'd also like to say that we keep talking about technology catching up. I hope it does. But what if it doesn't? Are we every year, every time there's an election, talk about, is it going to catch up next time? So let's don't do it now. You know, what if it never does? This is the very best that we can hope for right now, and I'm looking forward to using it. I don't want it to be certified, and sure, we can move up when something better comes along, but for now, this is the best there is. I also can't help but notice that the people here today so far who have talked about decertification are people without disabilities, and I find it patronizing and tiresome to once again hear them talk about they know what's best for me without asking my opinion. And, you know, I just don't think that their true concern is about accessibility for people with disabilities or blind people or verification. I don't know what it is, but it seems that I've heard most of the people with disabilities today talk about any little bit of access, any little bit of privacy and independence we can have, we're ready for that.
Very good. Questions?
Ma'am.
Thanks, Judy, for coming down today. Is there anyone? Let's see, that concludes those that signed up that wanted to testify. Was there anyone that thought they could add something additional to the information? Yes, ma'am. Oh. Okay. Well, you'll need to come to the microphone afterwards. Please state your name for the record, and I'll need you to sign up, please.
My name is Margaret Johansson.
Margaret?
Margaret.
Margaret, thank you.
And I'm from Boulder. And I've been active in various voting groups. I was just curious as to what the status of Avante was, because, again, it's my impression they are a DRE system. It seems like the last time I looked on their site, they had a system which was accessible. I think the audio scanned the paper record. I think the ballots were chopped separately and I think automatically went into a box. And I just wondered if that were considered by the state, because it's, my impression is it's beyond the DRAs that have been certified in Colorado. Okay. I just want to raise that.
Mr. Gardner?
Yeah, that vendor has not applied for certification, so until they do, we don't really have a statement. We consider anybody who applies, though, for certification and find out what we can do.
I think they're still on the Secretary of State's website as being certified. It's probably an old certification?
It's probably an older system, but the newer system that they have. You know, anytime there's a change to the system, whether it's software or hardware, they have to reapply and get that version certified.
Well, my comment would be, if there's a system out there that's more accessible, that you should go after it, not just wait for them to come to you. And I my understanding is, and again, this is old information, that some of the previous officials led them to believe that they were not interested in voter-verified paper ballots. This is ancient history, but I bet if there were a will in the state to get the best system out there, accessible-wise, that maybe that impression that they had a while ago could be changed.
Thank you, Margaret. Just for clarification, these companies have to go through federal certification first, and then they bring that certification to the state.
Oh, they are federally certified.
Okay, then it's there. They need to come to Colorado and say we're interested in doing business with you. So, thank you. Okay, I'd like to call Al Kollwitz back to the microphone and see, Al, if you had anything in addition you'd like to make for closing comments or anything in addition you'd like to add.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Yes, I would like to make a few closing remarks, and I will, as agreed, make
and
some
Al, you're going to have to speak up just a little bit, please.
I will make some closing remarks and provide some additional submissions. There's one item that was discussed today, and that was item that was regarding technologies for reading back the ballot to the blind person. And I don't know if Neil is still here. No, I think he's gone. He was referring to that as a speech-to-text application. And in fact, that is not at all a speech-to-text application. That's a text speech application, which is very, very different. Also, I would like to disassociate myself from all of the criticism of that solution because I didn't suggest it. I just answered that that was one thing you might look at in answer to a specific question. I'm not recommending it. I'm also not recommending it. But I do insist that the blind voter be able to read the paper. And various technologies are available. Today we've heard from the testimony that the disabled voters are rightfully adamant in protecting the forward progress that they see with the accessible features that are being added to our voting equipment. And unfortunately, because of actions that have been taken by the Secretary of State, a full set of options has not been available to the voters in order to make a fair comparison. As indicated by John, the VPAD is not certified. So it's an option that's out there but not available. Also, the AutoMark is not certified by Colorado. It is an option that's available, And I would believe that many of the people that spoke today in favor of accessible voting interfaces would be very, very pleased with the AutoMark interface. I do not sell AutoMark. I have no financial stake in it. In fact, I might wind up criticizing it.
And I'm sorry, but AutoMark did not meet the certification standards that the state law required. It's not an option right now that we have.
That's what I'm saying.
According to the statutes.
The people have been restricted in what they can examine. And as a consequence, when you're left with only a bad choice, and it's better than no choice, you might be motivated to spend the money on the bad choice. The problem is that once spent, it's gone. And these dollars are rolling out in very large denominations. For example, in Boulder County, the suiting up the precincts with about one of these machines per polling location, it's going to cost us $1.7 million to lease the machines for 1 year. I mean, this is an outrageous expenditure of something that's a very bad choice because there are no other choices. I have a chart. I don't know how to tell it to you without a whiteboard, but I'll try and tell it to you. If you imagine a box, let's say that flower is inside of a box, but take the flower out and instead put two decision boxes from a flow chart. The box itself represents the testing of the heart system. The two flowchart boxes inside represent, does the heart provide anonymous voting? And if so, does the heart provide verification to the blind voter? Now I need you to draw a separate box underneath the picture. The box under the picture says, if you go in the top, go through the tests, and the heart system is anonymous, and the blind voter can verify his votes on the paper, you go through the first box, you go into the second box, and you continue as is. We don't do anything. End of hearing, end of thing, we're done. On the other hand, if either of those two decision boxes wind up saying that the system is not anonymous, or the system does not have a provision where a blind voter can verify his votes on the paper ballot, both of which we have evidence from the hearing today, casual evidence, is true. If either of those two conditions are true, imagine that you go to the box on the right, which is that second painting hanging on the wall. The second painting on the wall is an obligation for the Secretary of State to decertify the equipment if either of those diamonds say the machine doesn't do what it's supposed to do. If you fall through the decertify box, that's the scary area that we don't know what to do about, right? That's the thing like, yeah, maybe technically we ought to decertify it, but what are our choices? What do we do then? Well, the box underneath that picture basically is a choice. It's a choice among alternatives. The alternatives available in Colorado, I think John said that there are four voting systems that have been certified for use in Colorado. Is that right?
That's correct.
And there are two systems that you've heard about today that are not certified in Colorado. However, the statutes do permit the Secretary of State to provide a temporary use opportunity to systems that are not certified for 1 year, in which case those systems could be used for 1 year. My reading is that the first box, the one on the left there, my left, the test, was the beginning of the problem. We did not adequately test the system. We lost valuable time in order to instruct the clerks and provide proper vehicles for people to do the right thing. We're now at a very short time frame. One thing that people in this position try to do is they try to reshuffle the boxes, okay, so that instead of let's go back and do the test. Let's find out whether the diamonds are yes or no. Let's decide whether or not to decertify. What they do is they rearrange the boxes, and they say, well, let's choose first, and then later we'll go back and test. Or later we'll go back and find out if all of these accusations about anonymity and verifiability are true. But I don't think that's what's contemplated in the law. I think the law contemplates that the system is tested. If the system determines that the system, that the product does not meet its requirements, that it becomes decertified. I believe that the tests were not conducted. That may not be important to some. To me, it's very important. I would add to the issue a point that's covered in the document, and that is that the heart system is in fact not merchantable. By that I mean the heart documents tell us what it does, but we all know that it doesn't do it. The heart document here on Audit Trail says it provides voters with disabilities, including blind and visually impaired voters, the same opportunity to verify their ballots as any other voter. Wrong. Second, it produces the paper equivalent of a voter's choices so the voter can view it in a method that is completely independent of the voting system. Wrong. This is stuff that sometimes attorney generals take seriously. This is information that is wrong, and you've made your decisions on it. You didn't test. You didn't discover it. We're now at a situation where we're very time-pressed. I believe that it's obvious that the system is not anonymous, obvious that the system cannot supply the needs of a blind voter to understand what's on that paper. Many of the people in the room don't have the sense that this sort of verification is required. That isn't what this is about. The law requires it. The law requires that people that are blind be able to verify their vote before it is cast. The system cannot do it. The system must be decertified. We should look at options. I volunteered to help spend some time on that with you, Secretary Dennis. The options that I've enumerated could be quite broadened, potentially. Are there any questions?
Questions, committee?
You know, I do need some help. I'm a little confused. You're asking Secretary Dennis to decertify this equipment.
Yes.
Because, well, and let me say that. You suggest other types of equipment that we should be using, which are not an option at this point. AutoMark and VotePad.
No, excuse me, if I should respond. I can wait,
sure.
Or I can respond.
Well, yeah, here's my question is, you're saying we shouldn't have preferential treatment of one disability over another. But if you look at the options that you're presenting, at least those two, we are doing that, it seems to me. And also, you know, other options, paper is completely out of the question at that point, because no disabled voters can vote that way. Well, I shouldn't say no, but a lot of them can't. So I'm trying to understand what your options are, what you're trying to get across to us. If we do decertify HART, what are the options?
Okay, Mr. Munster, I've agreed to volunteer to help the Secretary of State in any way that I or any people that I have any influence over to help understand that and put that together. My closing comments are about not reordering the graph. Let's don't make the tail wag the dog. Let's don't make the decision of whether or not we have options influence the truth of whether or not this machine is producing an anonymous record and is producing a paper record that can be verified by the blind voter. Let's don't shuffle that. I am not presenting, suggesting a particular alternative. I've got no stake in any of the vendors at all. I only care that this unit complies with the law, and I'm more than happy to spend time any way that I can be helpful.
Uh,
I do just have one more question.
Mr. Munster?
Thank you. The auto mark and the vote pad, which was brought up several times, I know it's not an option, do they produce an independent, verifiable paper record?
If I may, let me try and collect my thought about this for a second, Mr. Munster. First of all, I believe it to be the case that the auto mark could become an option at a stroke by the Secretary of State to provide a temporary authority to use it.
Okay. I got off track. I apologize.
Okay. With respect to the other part of your question, please repeat.
No, I'm off track. Okay. I apologize.
That's
Thank
fine.
You.
Oh, I'm sorry, if I may. Mr. Munster, the way that is accomplished with the auto mark, if I may, just take less than a minute to explain. When the voter wants to vote, the voter is given essentially an absentee ballot, the same thing that is used for an absentee ballot. The voter inserts the ballot into a scanner at the voting station. Upside down or backwards doesn't matter. The software scans the ballot and says, oh, I know what this is, and goes through the same sort of a protocol with the voter that any DRE would do, if it's audio or if it's sip and puff or whatever it is.
Right.
When the voter has verified electronically that the votes are correct, the voter says that he wants to mark the ballot. And the actual X's and O's get put onto the printed pre-printed ballot. The voter then is given the opportunity to reinsert that ballot into the scanner, and the machine is smart enough to recognize that it's been voted and will tell the voter what it says.
Right, and I apologize. That's not what this hearing's for. It was my own curiosity.
That's
Thank
it.
You.
Well, I have a question then, because how can someone like the gentleman earlier that was paralyzed from the neck down, he can't touch that ballot
that
and turn
correct.
It over and rescan
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely correct. And that is the point in our testimony, our written testimony, that the auto mark was decertified because it is not accessible, if you will, to a person with quadriplegic problem. The e-slate was certified despite it has an accessible problem for the sightless voter, and we don't understand the disparity here, the inequity between the two.
Well, the the e-slate does allow those with visual impairments to have their vote repeated back to them audibly. So whether you want to believe that or you want to see it on paper, I guess is up to that individual at this time to decide if that's going to be adequate or not for them.
I think the law is clear that it must be on paper, and that the on paper vote may in fact be the final determination of the election, and that the blind voter must be able to go through all of the steps of verification. And so I don't think it's an option. I think it's a requirement.
Okay. Any further questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kollwitz.
Madam Secretary, I can't thank you enough for investing this time and effort into this set of issues, which I think we share as being very, very important.
It is very, very important. I think we've heard some very compelling testimony today from all the individuals that contributed. We've also received some other emails and letters from individuals that will be added to the record for consideration. I will leave this time period open until June the 1st, at close of business day, June the 1st, if anybody else would like to submit any documentation towards either the current status or the decertification of this machine. You can also send your information to John Gardner. He'll make sure that all of the committee receives that information. His email address is John, J-O-H-N, dot Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, at sos.state.gov. www.ballotmarkingdevices.co.us. A written decision will be made within 90 days or by July the 10th is about the end of the 90 days period. And that is in accordance with the Colorado Revised Statutes of 1-1.5-105. Prior to issuing the decision, my office and our legal counsel will review other legal sources, including the legislative history of Senate Bill 05-198 and Senate Bill 05-206, which added the verified voter paper audit trail requirements to the state law, as well as any other written guidance from the Federal Elections Assistance Commission and the United States Department of Justice. I do want to thank all of you for your interest in this subject, those that are listening just either through the internet or those of you that had to fight the traffic, park downtown, get up to this building, all of those issues. Earlier in the afternoon, the room was quite crowded, and I thank those that wanted to stick around and hear this through its entirety. So with that concludes today's hearing. It is 10 minutes after 5. We are adjourned. Thank you. Daily, Shelley? Nice to meet you.
HLBBS.
Thank you.
Right, Bill. Deputy Secretary.
Josh?
That's fine.
Okay. Thanks, Deanna. It was nice to meet you.